Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you the Worldwide Religion of Love, hosted by Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Diane. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Hercules. I'm very well. And thank you again for letting us be here tonight. I think it's going to be a marvelous night. The weather today was so gorgeous, such a beautiful day. Not so hot, you know. So we're really looking forward to talking to everybody tonight.
Fantastic. Your guests are here, Gerald and Nick and Alex, I presume. So I'll be here in
yes.
case you need them.
Well, yes, I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit with Alex. He'll be on after I talk to Nick.
I'd be honored to.
Oh, you're always so kind. Thank you.
So I hand the show over to you now.
All righty. Well, Nick, can you hear us okay?
I can. You're coming in loud and clear, and I can also say to you that this was a gorgeous day in Manhattan, and I was in the village, the Greenwich Village today, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful fall day there, and the wonderful shops and restaurants and all that goes on in the West Village. If people who've never been to New York, you must come for a visit in good weather, and also check out Greenwich Village. It is really something to see.
Well, you know, I have been to New York, but I didn't get to Greenwich Village, so I'll try and do that next time.
The next time you guys are in, I will give you a guided tour, the Nick Curto guided tour of the village, and I'm telling you, there's so much history, and there's so much there. That in fact, tomorrow I'm scheduled at 2 o'clock to take a guided professional tour by a wonderful tour guide. She's probably the best in New York. Her name is Joyce Gold, and she knows everything you can imagine about the city. And we're going to be visiting the East Village, and that includes all the wonderful restaurants that are there. Also, the East Village is known for Yiddish theater, for vaudeville theater. It was a place where a lot of creative people came to this country and lived. And there's a lot of folklore about Greenwich Village and the East Village. So tomorrow I'm taking a tour of the East Village.
Well, how wonderful. What about the Metropolitan?
Oh yes, I have recently, and it's never been better. And it's such a lively, amazing museum. When I think of museum, I think of quiet, and I think of a few people walking around. This is not the case of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. It is a very lively, happening place. And you've been there, right? So you know that.
Well, actually, when we went there, I went every day for 6 days. Every day.
Good for you.
Six times.
Wow.
Gerald, have you ever been to the Met?
I have never been to New York. Yet.
Oh my!
And I'm looking forward to your being not just a great friend, but a tour guide as well. It'll be wonderful.
I would be delighted, and I can show you some things that you probably read about years ago, and I can show you where they were, where the Barnum Museum was. The incredible food, the first restaurant that served pizza in America.
Oh my gosh!
And we have to take a bite of that pizza. I mean, there's so many places to go. There's a few years ago they stopped a railroad going from Midtown to the West Village, and it was on a platform, a high platform, but it was many years ago, it was abandoned, and they were going to tear it down, and two gentlemen from the village said, wait a second, instead of tearing down this eyesore, what about planting gardens, floating gardens, and a path so people could walk in the trees and the flowers, and and they got enough bank and businesses together that gave them the money, and they stopped the proposed demolition, and it's called the High Line. And now they've got elevators that can go up about three stories, so you don't even have to walk up a staircase, and it goes now from about Midtown all the way down to the West Village, and at the end of it, where the West Village is, that's where the new Whitney Art Museum has now been built and located.
Wow.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know,
Nick,
my topic was what can we do to keep a positive attitude to life, because things have been a little bit hard. But you know, you seem to have just grasped upon the right thing. You just start getting out there and seeing all these wonderful places, and that right there cheers one up.
Well, sure. Diane, what I did, but because of what your theme was for tonight, I have come up with my list. It's the top 12 things to do to keep a positive attitude. I have 12 items.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Gerald, after I talk to Nick on this, or while we're talking to him, please interject and ask him any questions, because we want to know what you're doing, too, to keep a positive attitude.
That is really a very easy thing for me to do in Carol's presence. And especially our two dogs, Lady and Olive. I totally relate to what you're saying, Nick, about just hearing you speak and feeling the energy of it. I know this is the kind of attitude that will get us through.
All right, right. Well, please, Nick, go ahead and tell us what you've got down.
Okay, I'll go through this. You stop me anytime your little heart desires.
Oh, no, you just, we're energized by you. I can tell that Gerald is too.
Well, I'm honored by that. To achieve balance, going from sad to happy, depressed to optimistic, from lonely to enjoying fellowship with loved ones, friends, and even strangers, because strangers are friends that you haven't met yet. And this is all part of the plan. So I'm sure everybody has heard or has said this to themselves: someday I'm going to do, and then you put something in there. Someday I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what, everybody? This is someday. It's here. Someday is here right now. And so I've come up with 12 top things to do to keep a positive and a more joyful attitude. I'm going to go right to it.
Wonderful.
The first one is a very wonderful and easy thing, and that is listen to the music that you've always wanted to have time to listen to, and somehow things got in the way of that. I'm talking about classic music, jazz, pop, even rap, Broadway shows, whatever floats your boat. Take the time and get those records or albums or CDs that you have tried to collect, but then you don't have the time to listen to. Brush the dust off and listen. Number two, a trip, a little trip. It doesn't have to be a big deal. If you're near a beach, a mountain, or if you're near a small town that you haven't been to, or even a city, but you could keep it very simple. But the point is, do a little bit of traveling. Go to a place you haven't been to before. That's number two. Number three is art. Everyone is an artist of some sort. You are. And I've proven that many, many times to others too. Any kind of art. You can do a little drawing, sketch drawing. You can do, some people will buy some oil paints and try a little oil paint. You don't have to do a big canvas. It could be like a 12 by 12. Set up some flowers or a fruit in a bowl, or maybe someone that you love. And try that. You'd be surprised. surprised. I was talking to a woman very recently in Massachusetts, and she said, I had an opportunity to try ceramics. I've never done anything like that. She said, Nick, I'm having such a good time making ceramics now. It's part of my life, and it's so joyful for me. Another part of the art might be a family album. You probably have photos. Get the prints from your cell phone or whatever and create a family album. Now, a lot of people love to see that, but there's never enough time, it seems, to do that. So you keep putting these things off. Make the time. Number four, redo a room or a home project. Clear out your home of unwanted or unused items. Now, we all are guilty of that. Well, certainly
yes.
I am too. And you know what? We never take the time. This is a good time to do something like that. And you're going to feel a sense of fulfillment when you have more room. And this is an easy thing to do. Number five, see a live stage show or go to a local movie house and see something just for fun. Just give yourself a little treat. And don't forget the popcorn. Okay, number six, and Diane, you already mentioned this, a museum.
Oh,
there's some
yes.
wonderful museums, right? And I'm sure where you are, every town or city has some local museums with some beautiful work. Take an afternoon and do that. And try not to do it on the weekend. Do it during the week where it's a lot less crowded. Number seven, truly visit family and friends. You can do the visit by phone. If you have a Zoom account and they're very inexpensive, you can do a Zoom meeting and do a get-together. Now, I've done that with my college friends. We set up a Zoom meeting, and I contacted them, and I said, we haven't seen each other in so many years. It was one of the most wonderful thing to see and talk and compare notes to my fellow graduates way back when I graduated from the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston, Mass. Number eight. Try writing a little book. Maybe you could start with your life. Begin at the beginning and just put some items in there as you think of them. It doesn't have to be highly organized. Whatever comes to mind, just jot it down. Also, try writing a poem or a song. Try it. A lot of people find that they never did it before, but when they do it, they come up with some wonderful things. And it's a joy to do something creative. Number nine, renew old friendships from high school, college, your old neighborhood. And I'm telling you, that recently happened to me, and it was such a joyful experience to compare notes from people I haven't seen in a very long time and compare what was going on then and now. It was so much fun. Number 10, we're getting close to the end. Do volunteer work for your community. Volunteer work. There's a lot of good projects, and I think every community looks for volunteers to do something. It could be on a number of subjects through children, for seniors, for a baseball or a football team or a church group, whatever. Try a volunteer job, you're going to be meeting some new people too. Number 11, meditate, of course, and pray. And read spiritual books. Absolutely. That is certainly one of the ones that certainly will give you so much joy and knowledge and peace. And finally, we come to number 12, the last one. And here it comes. Prep. Become a prepper. And store. Large amounts of food and water and little communication devices. You might want to get a solar, they're not expensive, a solar charger and then rechargeable batteries. And that can come in really handy if the power goes out, whether it be an hour or for much, much longer. You have a source of power. Also, don't forget your medicines. Get some extra medicines that you take. Or for your pet, stock up on pet food and heating devices. Some of them can be very simple. There's one I'll talk about later if you have the time that's incredibly simple and really can heat a cold house. And also candles, things like that. and to keep warm, or if it's hot, to keep cool. And it, I have prepared. I did a talk 2 years ago called "My Survivor List," and I went in a deep research and researched a lot of products, just like the ones I'm talking about, where to buy them, and at a very reasonable price. And I will send an email to anybody with my list if you'd like it. I'm going to give you my email address. And when you see this, I'd like your feedback also, but it's quite extensive. My email is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, nicknyny1 at gmail.com, and I'd be very happy to send you this extensive list of products that you don't have to go searching. I've done the research for you, and I'm telling you, these could really save lives, your life and your loved ones, if in fact we ever had a situation that we have to deal with. Also, when you're getting these products, don't forget that if times ever got bad, barter would be the way to go. So if you have extra food or extra water, you might have forgot something. And a lot of people in situations have had a barter system where I can give you this, or even to give something to someone that forgot to do it, and now they're in a bad way. So anyhow, that's my list of 12 items.
Well, how wonderful. You are a prepared man. Wow. That's fabulous. Wow, super, super prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we are a little concerned the way that things are going, but I want to tell everyone that the Father says that everything is going to be better for everybody. And I'm just looking at only about, golly, just from now until March. And it says in the book, in the astrology book, March 24th, 2023, that's going to be our glimpse into the new world. At least that's what I believe. More prosperity and happiness, and maybe we won't have to be so prepared, you know, by then. But on March 24th, 2023, Pluto moves into Aquarius until June the 12th, 2023. That's only about 3 months. But that gives us a glimpse of where we're going in a more positive direction. And we won't have to think of maybe about being so prepared, because we'll know that there's going to be plenty of abundance for everybody. And so after that, it says here, on January the 22nd, 2024, Pluto enters Aquarius, and that's really when we'll have our age of Aquarius. It really didn't happen in the 60s or the 70s. And it's going to last until March 10th, 2043. And not to worry then, because then we're going to have everything going into enlightenment and Pisces, Pluto and Pisces. So I think we're just going straight up, Nick and Gerald. And I think if we can just get through these few months, 6 months, not even 6 months, I think that we're going to see that everything is okay, and that we're all going to benefit from everything. So, but
amen to that. Amen to that. Boy,
I know. You know, it's good to be prepared, and it's good to try and keep this positive attitude. We have had my mother-in-law pass away this September, and she was 79. And we'll be going on Monday for the memorial and all of that. And so we've had to try and keep our heads up and stay positive, because we've been thinking about the loss, you know. But what we've done is Michael wrote some new songs for her, and I've been sending them out, the words, to all my friends. And you'll get a copy, Hercules and Gerald and Nick, too. Michael wrote. Two new songs just since she passed away, just since September 7th.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so...
You know, one thing that the Urantia movement... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was going to say, one thing the Urantia movement did, and when I heard about it and then participated in it, I was so joyful. And what it was instead of wearing black when someone passes on, and I don't, and they don't use the word they died. It's like passes on, or they use the word graduated. I love that when I heard that. They graduated. What a positive word that is.
And
instead of wearing dark and like black netting over your face, things like that.
Right. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
I'm sure that you aren't. I'm sure you're not. But to just dress up, and if anything, joyfully. And celebrate the life and the love and the all the humor of the person and all the wonderful stories, and be very positive. And that's what the Urantia Book movement, that's part of what they do when someone passes on or graduated. I love that.
Yes. You know, I haven't decided what to wear yet. We'll be leaving Monday morning early because it'll be, you know, the funeral at first, and Michael's going to sing, and then we're going out to the cemetery and doing that, and Michael's going to be a pallbearer, and then we'll be going for the reception, and there'll be lots of friends and relatives there, and Michael will sing. And but, you know, I want to look more joyful. You know, I thought at first, too, do I wear a black dress? And then I thought, no, I want to keep a real positive attitude about this, because, you know, I was just telling a friend yesterday, actually, that when you pass on, it's not a sad thing. You know, when I go into that that other astral world, it's not sad. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you don't feel any pain. You are just totally at peace. I mean, everyone's afraid of death, but I assure them the gods are there, the celestials are there to help you. They love you. They only want the best for you. And we have to remember that it's not really frightening. None of this is frightening. So we
may I add to that what you just said? Also, your journey is continuing to the center of all love.
Yes, of course.
God,
the
universal Father. That's your.
Yes.
I mean, how does it get any better? I don't think
so.
No. It's a journey that's preparing you to finally, quote, meet your maker, however you want to term it. And that's another thing about, I got to say, the Urantia book had so much detailing about that whole subject and the process and your from one step to the next. It goes into detail. I was absolutely floored when I read that.
Yes. Well, you know, No, I was just going to say on December the 13th, 19th, 2013, when I actually did encounter the Father, one of the times, it's been many since, but when I did, the problem was at the end of that encounter, which was about 2.5 hours, I didn't want to leave, and I was actually crying, and I was actually found myself in tears when I got back, because I kept telling them, well, I don't want to leave him. You know, I love him, and I don't want to leave him.
Oh, I believe that, absolutely. Yeah. I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
I would be, I'm sure that Gerald would be too, right, Gerald?
Yes. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's not a sad thing. It's where you want to be. It's where you really want to be with them. Yeah. That's
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely,
well,
true.
Well, thank you, Nick. We'll talk to you again about all of this at the end of the program. And right now,
excellent.
Alex, are you there? Alex? We're going to bring Alex on. And Hercules, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Alex is going to be bringing us a message about surrealism. This is his activity he wanted to talk about today. Now, Hercules, I don't expect you to be an art expert, but maybe you can talk with Alex about what he's doing. Here he is. I want to mention, too, Alex has just had his 17th birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Happy birthday, Alex. Congratulations.
Yes, on the 17th of September. So we're really excited. We had a big party at his dad's, and everything was wonderful. Here's Alex.
Hello.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm fine.
So you're 17 and you're into surrealism. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know very much about art, so you're going to have to instruct me.
Well, surrealism spawned out of the Dada movement. The Dada movement was basically a renegade group of artists in France who believed that art should not represent anything that is either familiar or just, well, you know how art looked prior. Just all realistic and everything.
Uh-huh.
Surrealism took the idea of Dada one step further by basically saying that these paintings come from the human subconscious, and what the subconscious is thinking, they try to display as the art. Hence all the dream talk.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
Did dreams inspire other than Dadaism, did dreams inspire the Surrealists?
Actually, believe it or not, I can tell you who did, specifically.
Okay.
It was Sigmund Freud and his psychoanalysis. He basically said... basically explained everything about how human nature works and everything. A lot of surrealists misinterpreted what he actually said, though. So, yeah.
So, was Picasso a surrealist? Because that's the only thing
no,
that comes
he was,
to mind.
He was a cubist.
He was a cubist, okay.
Yeah, he was a cubist expressionist. Or even an abstract artist. But surrealism is something completely different.
How about things like, are you familiar with The Sandman by DC Comics? It's a comic book about Morpheus, the god of sleep or dreams.
Yeah.
Is that surrealism? Because that's like unconscious type of stuff.
If you want a good example of surrealism from DC, I'd probably say the Doom Patrol comics by Grant Morrison are probably the best.
Okay.
But just be warned, those can get a little too weird.
I read them all once upon a time. I like Grant Morrison. He's an occultist.
Yeah. And I was actually profusely inspired by most of the stories that he wrote there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he celebrated unique individuality and creative self-expression. All of his characters are very unique and very singular in their view of the world, and their interactions are very strange and surpasses the... day-by-day waking world. So I found them very fascinating myself.
Although the believe it or not, surrealism can actually be traced to one man who actually wrote a manifesto about surrealism. André Breton. Essentially, he wrote a manifesto stating that the human mind, you have to paint purely from the human mind, which is actually a art technique known as automatism, which is, believe it or not, kind of a bizarre way of painting. Because literally, you don't think about what you're painting. You just let your hand do all the work.
So it's like automatic writing, except you're painting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how he defined it. Some surrealists, such as René Magritte, and Max Ernst kind of said, no, that's not exactly how it would work. That's just like too subconscious stuff, like, and all that. So basically what they did was they drew from what came from their mind, but they gave substance and style to it.
What first got you interested in surrealism?
I, honestly, it was really the development of occultists that did.
Okay.
Because I had to study art history, since it was based off that.
And was it inspired at all by Lovecraft? Because I know that was a passion for a while.
Yeah.
Of your...
It's basically, if you want an idea in terms you can understand of how occultus is and how it works, imagine the Lovecraftian gods being pieces of surrealist art.
Okay.
And all the things that the people see in Lovecraft are surreal occurrences, such as melting clocks or a street that is at a perpendicular angle.
That sounds wild.
Still, believe it or not, I actually had André Breton's manifesto, and I read the whole thing. And I sat there thinking to myself, just a minute here. He never said anything about what these surrealists were actually doing. He never said anything about it.
So you think they had some hidden purpose in what they were doing?
No. I actually... André Breton essentially described this, like, sort of half vision, I suppose, that he had that was pretty darn strange, in my opinion. But it summed up what he meant with surrealism. He basically described that he had this sort of half thought, half vision, half whatever it is, of a man who is cut in half at a 45-degree angle, was standing outside his window. I think to myself...
That's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I think to myself, I think I see what he means.
Okay.
It's just pure nonsense. It's not supposed to make sense. Nor is it supposed to be analyzed. It's just nonsense. Perfect, unadulterated nonsense.
Do you think dreams are nonsense too, or do you think the weird symbols...
I actually think that André Breton did not mean dreams. I think he meant that the human mind can come up with such absurdities as, well, what he had. And they should paint these absurdities.
Is there a particular state of consciousness that they would enter? Like, for instance, in dream studies, they discovered that there's consciousness between dreams. They call it the liminal state. And it's very different than dreaming. It's very different than thinking with your eyes closed. It's very different from the hypnagogic and the hypnopompic states. It's a separate thing. It's in between. Go ahead.
Liminal spaces, in my knowing, is an empty space that just feels off. Or a transitory space, such as a hallway or something. It's a place that you have stopped in, but you should not have stopped in, type situation. And if you want a few examples of liminal spaces, you can go to somebody like Gregorio de Chirico, who is a metaphysical artist slash surrealist. Basically, it's how I define a liminal space is essentially a place with the absence of human life, or any life at all, it's kind of like some of the questions come up, like, why did somebody build this? What purpose did it serve? Where is everybody? Type situation. And I think metaphysical painting and surrealism did that quite well. The absence of life in the face of a space. Like, for example, you know Salvador Dali's empty landscapes that he usually did?
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of what I mean. There's just not much life or any real semblance of life. Whenever you do see life, it just doesn't look right.
You've given me a lot to contemplate.
Yeah, I may be a modern-day philosopher.
There we go. That's a great thing to be. And I like the fact that you have a lot of interests and that you pursue your interests until you fathom the depth of the subject and you come to greater understandings, and then you could articulate them. So that's quite a feat.
I need to go. So.
Okay. Happy 17th again. It was great talking to you. It's always great talking to you, Alex. And success in all your endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alexander. He's quite the artist, too. You know, he's trying to do his bit, just like the rest of us, to keep positive during this time. Gerald, are you there, sir?
Ready with spiritual helpers.
Listen, we want to hear our words of wisdom from you and anything that you would like to tell us. And if you'd like to tell us how you're surviving during all of this and keeping a positive attitude, whatever you want to tell us, we will sit here and listen.
So what comes to mind immediately first is the list of how to keep our thoughts positive that Nick put forth. To me, that falls right in with the possibility of definitely being spiritual helpers in that way. The modern-day philosopher that Alex talked about definitely could be a spiritual helper. There are so many different avenues to explore, but I'll start. There are, in our world, people who we might call spiritual helpers. Spiritual helpers are like guardian angels in physical form. They are real-life people like us, only they are determined to send a message to our world, and especially to those who are stepping off on the spiritual path. This is one of the biggest responsibilities of spiritual helpers. Whether they're consciously aware of it or not, doesn't matter. They want to send their message far and wide, and particularly to those who, having embarked on a spiritual path, are now wondering, does it really make any sense to take this? Anyone who starts off on a spiritual path is likely at some point to become discouraged. The path to our own inner being can be long and arduous, filled with obstacles, setbacks, and continual challenges, especially in a dualistic 3D environment. The paths to Creator Source can be difficult to find and maintain. That is why the path to divine awareness, divine wisdom, and divine experience literally is the road less traveled. Anyone who has embarked on this path knows. The path can also be exhilarating and uplifting and deeply inspiring. It can be expanding and enlarging and enhancing. And this is why I love listening to Nick talk about the list. I'm going to make it personally, my bucket list part of it. And I'd love to hear Alex and Hercules exchange about surrealism. And I just love listening to that. Anyhow, this path, which is unique for every individual, will by no means be traversed without challenge. It will require love, compassion, empathy, caring, courage, and commitment. Continue walking the path. First, we can care for ourselves and for others and for life itself and for Creator Source. These things must matter to us. When we eat well, when we do not smoke, we stay away from alcohol or drugs, when we get plenty of exercise, in short, when we take care of our physical vehicle, our physical self, we demonstrate that we care. When we meditate, when we nurture our soul, when we nourish our heart mind, in short, when we take care of our spiritual selves, we demonstrate that we care. We care for ourselves and others. We care for ourselves enough to take care of ourselves. And we care for others by remaining healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that those who care for us can be rewarded by our happy presence in their lives for many years. And going back to what all of us talked a little bit about earlier, was graduation and how it can be a wonderful, loving, happy experience. When we treat ourselves badly, when we neglect ourselves, we are as much saying to those around us, you know, you are our loved ones, our family, and our friends. But we're going to pay very little attention to the health of our physical or spiritual body. We may even do things that cause us to leave our body much earlier than we might otherwise have had to, because we do not care or are unaware if others care for us and want us to be around longer. Their caring for us does not matter enough for us to care deeply for ourselves. Of course, nobody would actually say such a thing to family and loved ones, yet, and this is so true, actions speak louder than words. So love, compassion, and empathy is the first step on the road to light and life. It is the first step on the path to mastery. Then comes courage. It takes courage to care, particularly because it may require us to do things we do not want to do, or to stop doing things that we do want to do. This means sometimes saying no to ourselves, and that takes courage. It also means saying no to the world, and it takes even a higher level of courage for that, in order to maintain that. The world around us is built on a system of short-term gratification. We are invited at every turn to indulge ourselves, to gratify our whim, satisfy our base physical desires, no matter what cost to ourselves or others. And here I want to go back to Nick's list again, because that's exactly the opposite. That is really living life in every moment, to experience all of that. Yet short-term gratification is not what we're here for. It is not the experience that we came to Earth to have. We came to this planet as spiritual beings with a body, and we came here for spiritual reasons that also involved the use of our physical body, but not the misuse of it, and certainly not the abuse of it. It takes courage but the system to just say no. It takes courage to tell ourselves, no, that is not good for you, or no, this will hurt others. This kind of self-direction and self-correction takes courage. We would all much rather follow our base instinct, our love of power over others and things, and our desire to satisfy the senses no matter what, which is a lot of the conditioning that we've all had, rather than empowerment, which is the power with other people and selfless service rather than attempting to control others. It also takes commitment. It is one thing to have the courage to say no to that piece of chocolate cake. Oh, my goodness. Or that second helping of mashed potatoes the first time. But it takes commitment. Keep saying no to it. It takes courage to say no to that drink, that cigarette the first time. But it takes commitment. Keep saying no to it. It also takes commitment to say yes to certain things. Commitment to say yes to daily exercise, say yes to daily meditation, to say yes to our higher self when our higher selves are telling us every day how we can travel the path if we really want to. For all of these reasons, anyone who starts off on the spiritual path is likely at some point to become discouraged. That is where the spiritual helpers come in. We can be spiritual helpers. Perhaps we all already are. We can send a message to others in 100 ways. People are watching all the time. Model the behavior we would recommend that they embrace. People are listening all the time. We can choose to say the words we would like to hear if we thought our lives depended on those words, because they do. There are many ways we can do them. If we have read A Course in Miracles, the Ranch Epic, Course of Love, Life and Teachings, Master of the Far East, or the writing Buddha, Paramahansa Yogananda, and it goes on. Ancient Greeks as well, Plato, Aristotle, and many more, which will guide us to many other words and works of wisdom and mastery. And if their messages changed our lives, we can change the lives of others by passing those messages on, by sharing them with others, by helping to make them available to all the world. That is the work of Christ Michael School Healing Centers, up to the Peace and Community Garden that are contained within their light and life communities. We trust that many of the incoming holy innocents, the young people, will support that work. We trust that many will become spiritual helpers and send a wonderful message to our beloved planet about our world, about our Creator Source. Love, light, and life. Thank you so much for allowing me to present.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was just beautiful. Well, Gerald, I thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful talk. And Nick, I will certainly be staying up tonight thinking about all those exciting things to do. Thank you so much. And Nick, would it be possible for you to send us that list to Michael and I?
Diane, you are indeed a mind reader, because that's exactly what I was thinking, of course. And also for all the listeners out there, if you'd like my list, I would be honored. Just send me that email, and I will include that along with the prepping that I had spoken about, the 12,
yeah.
the 12 steps to help you get through a difficult time and keep your your positive energies going. I will include that. Of course I will.
Oh, well, I know that Michael would
love
it. Can I
say something about Gerald? About Gerald. Gerald, this is for you, my dear friend. I would love if you had a website where I could go along with everyone else in the morning and hear a 10 minutes of your thoughts for the day, just like you just did. Because I'm telling you, I would go there every day for that. You have such a sense of focus and of goodness that it's just there. It's wonderful. It's such a positive energy, and I think the world has never needed it more than right now. And if you had a website and just did a 10-minute every day in the morning, or you could record it, you know, whenever you wanted to, or you could do it live. But the 10 minutes of thoughts that you would have for the day, I think would be incredible. I just wanted to make a suggestion.
Why don't we talk about that in our first Zoom call, Nick? That's a great idea, because what I'm thinking is that it would be something that we could do together on a Zoom scenario. I don't have a website.
We have to fix that.
Gerald, would you give us your phone number at least?
The phone number is area 503-385-8480. And I have a new email. I'm just not sure of who is receiving this email. But I'll go ahead and give it to you. It's capital I, capital A, capital M, lowercase Gerald E. Farley at proton.me. There are no spaces.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Gerald. And I feel just like Nick. I feel 10 minutes every day in the morning will just really get us off going in the right direction.
No, I've got all the material incoming to do that, and most comes from the Celestials.
What about our Mr. Curto? Would you please give us all your information so we can get that list?
Yes, ma'am. It's my email, NICKNYNY1, and it's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Nick, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com. And I'd be happy and honored if anybody wants my list and the other item. I would be happy to send you. Of course, I will do that.
Oh, well, I know we would be happy. What about you, Hercules? Do you want to give information here at the end of the show?
The best way to reach me currently is either through email. It's hercules.invictus@gmail.com. That's hercules.invictus@gmail.com. And also on Facebook, Hercules Invictus. Thank you.
All right, and I want to give Michael, my husband's, email. I'm sorry he was not here tonight, but the next time that he is on the show, he's going to sing for you the two songs that he wrote for his mother. And he just wrote them right after he heard the news She would have been 80 years old on September the 16th this year. So she just missed it by a week. But here's our email for Michael Duncan. And that's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, then the number 1, at hotmail.com. And also our YouTube channel, Michael and Diane, with 2 N's, D-I-A-N-N-E, Duncan. And I hope that you'll check out our 114 videos. And I know a friend yesterday said, well, how do you do that, you know, with talking to the gods? And I said, well, check out our YouTube, because a lot of them, the videos are actually team meetings where I'm actually talking to the gods. I know exactly where they're sitting, and we're talking together, and it's live, and there's no book beforehand. I have no notes. We just talk to the gods. So please check out our YouTubes. And thank you all so very much. Thank you, Hercules, for allowing all of us to talk on your beautiful show.
And thank you all for being here and for sharing your insights and your wisdom. And I look forward to our next conversation. I must let everyone know that we started our in-person activities at the Gresskill Public Library last week. And it will be ongoing the third Wednesday of every month from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And we're focusing mostly on UFOs and paranormal phenomena. So all the material that I will send is on the information table, and people were curious about it, so I gave a brief introduction to all the material that was there.
Oh, delightful. Well, I thank everyone. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Hercules. And I'll look forward to a wonderful meeting next time we meet.
Okay, thank you so very much as well. And thanks to everybody who tuned in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and patiently waited in our queue during the entire program, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, everyone.
Take care. God bless everyone.
Love you all.
Thank you. Love you all very dearly.